In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
We're going to get into the word right now, and you know, for the next 40 minutes, I'm going to be sharing with you what the Lord placed on my heart. Interesting enough, I was just going to speak on gratitude this morning. In fact, if you were on the broadcast with me yesterday, I said I'm going to be talking about sustaining and maintaining the supernatural, which sounds cute, by the way. But this morning, I had a clear direction from God to speak on keys to unhindered supernatural flow. Keys to what? Unhindered. Can we say it together? Say unhindered supernatural flow. Come on, give me some energy. Say unhindered supernatural flow. In spite of the fact that you are in the world, God expects you to operate above the level of this world. So you ought not to live a life that is subjected to every natural evil going on around you. There's darkness in our world. Taken. How many of you know that? There's darkness everywhere. It's dark. It's so dark. Things that maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago you would not have imagined are being accommodated or legislated. You know, it's one thing for things to be going on, but it gets to another level when those things are now being what? Legislated. That is how dark our world has become. But in the midst of all this, God is still saying, I created you to be supernatural, and you can still have a supernatural existence. Your family can still stand out as a supernatural family. Who am I talking to? So rather than being scared of raising kids, you raise kids with confidence that my children will stand out. The Bible says, great shall be the peace of your children. Can you say loud and clear? Say, great is the peace of my children. In other words, you know, the demons messing people's mind up will not mess up the minds of my kids. My kids are not just going to wake up and say, you know, their biology was wrong. Oh, you didn't get that. You know, it has become something we have to confess. Growing up, nobody needed to confess. I'm a man. I will forever be a man. You know, but now we're living in a world that there's so much confusion where teachers have been encouraged to encourage kids to be confused. Oh, you didn't hear me? That is how bad it has become. But we don't live in fear because we have an assurance in God that things can still be different with us. Can you say loud and clear? Say, things are different with me. Things are different with me. I have such help in God. Jesus said, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. You are in the world, but you are not of this world. So, you know, you have something in you that gives you the opportunity and the privilege to live above this world. It says you have been raised far above principalities and powers. In other words, demons have nothing on you. Are you listening to me? The darkness of this age has nothing on you. You are that supernatural. Can you shout one more time? Say, I am supernatural. Come on, shout it again. Say, I am supernatural. If you believe me, shout it. Say, I am supernatural. So I want to speak on what I call the keys to unhindered supernatural flow. The objective is to help you on how to constantly experience and sustain supernatural manifestations. So it won't be once in a while, but it will be a consistent experience. A consistent experience that you are healed. A consistent experience that you are what? Well provided for. You know, I was listening to a young man. He's a young man. He was probably a kid when I started preaching, so I have the right to say he's a young man. And, you know, he was spinning out some dangerous things. He said, He said, I learned some people are saying, I will not be broke another day in my life. That is not scriptural. After all, Paul said, I've learned both to abase and to advance. If you want to be broke, go get broke. How dare you stand on the pulpit and discourage people from declaring God's word over their finances? Now, if you agree with me that you will not be broke another day in your life, can you stand up? Or you are with him. If you are with him, it's okay to be broke sometimes. If you are with me, you will now lift up your two hands with your full chest and shout, I will never be broke another day of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, you will not be broke another day of your life. No, the psalmist says, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous what?
Forsaking.
No, you see, begging bread. Now, saying you have learned to be abased and to be abandoned does not mean you now start confessing that I can be broke. No, I will not be broke. Don't you ever say, I hate lack. You may be seated. You know, some people are just, they're just rebellious. And there's this thing about, you just want to contradict the elders. Want to come up with some nasty revelations. How dare you? And he said with all audacity, it's not right to say I will not be broke. He said, okay, carry your family together and start confessing it. We can be broke some days of our life. All I know is that poverty does not help anybody.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? If you are struggling in lack, you ought to confess yourself out, not confess yourself into it. Say, it's okay, I can be broke some days of my life. After all, I've learned to both to abase to abound. No, I will not be broke. Somebody say, I will not be broke. And part of God's plan for your life is to have supernatural financial opportunities. He wants you to live even beyond what your job is paying you. How many of you know God can give you such opportunities? That what is coming to you is beyond what you are being paid. That what you are being paid is just a seed. Because the Lord is your shepherd. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So, just a few things. Number one, talking about how to, keys to unhindered supernatural flow. See value in little things. That sounds so interesting. See value in what? Little things. You know, there are things that you are calling nothing on. Small things, but as far as God is concerned, that is where your abundance lies in. But for as long as you see it as little and or not much, you will keep on walking past it, and you will not see value in the greatness of that little thing. Listen to me. What you need for your next level is already around you. In fact, your prayer is, Lord, open my eyes to what? See it. 2 Kings chapter 4. See value in little things. There are things that you have that people come around you and say, you're so good. And like, you talk it down and say, no, it's nothing special. Now, by the way, that is not being humble. That is not being humble. That's being foolish. People are pointing it to you that this is unique. This stands out. You are good. You are gifted. And you're like, no. Don't make any big deal out of it. I'm just a regular fellow. There's nothing special about it. Really? Look at it. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is what? Dead. He says, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. Now, this man loved God and was broke. Okay. So loving God is not enough. He feared God. He loved God. But he died broke. He was so broke that after he died, they came after his family. You know, I was talking to a minister friend several years ago, and I looked at him. I said, you need to take care of your family. You love God. You are flying all over the world doing ministry. But listen, don't get your family into trouble because of your lack of wisdom. Just because you love God does not mean you will live a good life, financially speaking. And God is not responsible for your lack of money. You are responsible for it. This man died broke. They came after his family. He had to run to the boss, Elisha. What do we do? Your servant is dead. He loved God, but he was broke. Verse 2. Let's run it. So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house, but a jar of oil." In fact, she said nothing before she said, "Oh, there's a jar of oil, but still nothing." Hey. If you read the story further down, I don't have all the time in the world, you will realize that what turned the life of this family around was what she called nothing. So the question this morning is, what has God given you that you're still addressing as what? Nothing. Is that I just have a jar of oil, which is nothing. It does not amount to anything. Verse 3. There's something. There's no such thing as someone in this world that has nothing. There's something that can turn things around. He said, then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few." Interesting enough, he did not say, "Go and gather vessels that are full of stuff." He said, "Just bring container for your nothing." What you call nothing, I'm going to prove it to you that there's so much in it. Go and bring vessels from everywhere. You call it nothing, I will show you it's not nothing. What you call nothing has so much in it that by the time you and everybody around you bring vessels around, your nothing will fill them up. Amen. Do you know the amazing thing? It was not, the nothing was so much that it only stopped when the vessel stopped. So, if the woman had gone to the neighboring town and the town after that town and gathered all the vessels she could get, the so-called nothing would have still filled all the vessels. I want to pray for you tonight that what is so valuable that God has given you that you are refusing to see. Come on, get on your feet. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I declare in this quarter, may the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Amen. To recognize the jewel that God has put within you. Amen. She called it nothing, and it was everything. Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. And the prophet stated, he said, don't gather just a few. There's so much that what you call nothing can do. You may be seated. Verse 4, let's read it down. It's an amazing story. Verse 4, please. Second Kings chapter. He said, when you have come in and shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Verse 5, we're going to go all the way. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Continue, please. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. So apparently she was the one that stopped the flow. Because the oil ceased where the vessel ended. May the Lord give you capacity to see what you have and make vessels available to carry what you have. So all along, what was needed was already there. But she could not see it. Oh, I wish someone can help me. I wish somebody can give me something. You already have something. There's no way God will bring you into this world with nothing. The problem is you cannot see what you what have. You know, there's this thing about people celebrating what others have that they don't have. Oh, my God, she's so good. You are so good. Oh, she's so loaded. You are so loaded. She's so gifted. You are so gifted. You only need to see what you have. Matthew chapter 14. Seeing value in little things. You know, God operates in a way that it starts out not big, but it starts out small. And that's why when you see a massive tree, it starts with a small seed. Somebody planted some seed a while ago, nurtured the seed, and in a few years, you now see a huge tree with large branches. But it started out as a what? Seed. And that's why the Bible says, despise not the days of what? Little beginning. So in Matthew chapter 14, there was a situation. They were in a deserted place, talking about Jesus' disciples and thousands of people that were following him. And some disciples started panicking, said, "Sir, there's not enough food to take care of these people. Let's dismiss them. Let them go right now." But Jesus said something. He said, "No, we're not going to let them go." And in verse 16, Matthew chapter 14, verse 16. Let's read verse 16 before we go into 17. Matthew chapter 14. He said, "But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Because for as far as Jesus was concerned, what was needed to take care of the need was already there. But there's a problem. The disciples could not see it. What they were seeing is traveling now, going to the grocery store, the supermarket next town. And Jesus said, "You don't need to travel anywhere. The natural that the super needs to sit on is here." You know, supernatural is a combination of the super of God on your natural. God gives you the natural. But you must identify your natural so that the super can sit on it. Are you following me? Jesus said they did not need to go away. What you need is already here. I pray for somebody that what you're carrying, which has capacity to multiply everywhere, that you've not seen until now, I declare after today you will start seeing it. Amen. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 14, verse 17. They do not need to go away. You don't need to panic. You don't need to go to the next town. You have it. They said to him, "We have here only." Look at the qualification. Only. What are you calling only? And yet, he carries so much. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. A little boy lunch. That's all we have in camp. Master, you don't get it. We need to be practical. We need to be realistic. You know, we just need to go. Jesus said, "Calm down." Because if you read the story further down, you will realize 5 loaves and 2 fishes. By the time God sat on it, fed 5,000 people. Only. And to let you know, this was not just a fluke. Matthew chapter 15. It was not a fluke. God works with small things. God works with little things. And you are looking for the big things. The question is, will you be able to handle the big things? God wants you to grow the seed from little to much. And you are looking for something massive. And that's why smart women, they don't look for big men. They look for men they can grow with. "Hey, I don't know where I got there." They say, "I want a soft life." That's not a soft life. The guy acquire you the same way he acquire every other thing in his house. Before you know, you say, "You want a..." "No, no, no. I was made before you came." So you say, "I'm smart. I don't want to marry into poverty." Nobody is asking you to marry into poverty. You marry potential. Hey, ralabo soto bolo. Apparently somebody needs to hear that. Because your mind is not renewed. You marry potential. You know, it's fun to be able to grow together with a man rather than a ready-made man. A ready-made man that has no respect for you. Say, "Let him go and hustle first. When he has made it, then I will join him." I'm a believer in starting out together and building something massive. Are you listening to me? It's just that single people, they know more than people that are married. They've never done it before and they know everything about it. Their mouth will be running from east to west, north to south. You better listen. Because apparently God gave me that word for somebody whose mind is messed up. And you know, when your mind is set that way, you will miss opportunities. There will be somebody around you that loves you, but he will even be afraid to ask you out because he knows your standard. It's like, it's my best friend. And that's all he can be. No, I don't want to suffer. My mother suffered. I won't suffer. Wow. I don't know where that jab came from. Matthew chapter 15, verse 35. Somebody needed to hear that. Some of you here, if you were to be my wife, you would not have married me. I didn't look like it. That was it. You know, she literally changed my wardrobe 3 months after we got into a relationship. Very smart woman. And she did not complain. She didn't like the way I was dressing. She just started buying stuff. And I was not stupid. I mean, old things have passed away. All things have become new. I mean, I upgraded. You know, the reason why I didn't upgrade it was...
Okay.
Somebody is looking for an upgrade. And you are the one that is supposed to upgrade. I remember in this church several years ago, a lady came to me and said, look at this guy asking me now. This is a good guy, but I don't like the way he dresses. I said, ha, is that all? He said, oh, I said, don't worry. I sat her down. I said, don't worry, I will coach you. Say yes first. They have 2 children now. I coached her. I said, don't worry. If you see the guy now, ha, say, ba. GQ, I worry they call it. But the guy then, it's like Jesus. So when she said, I don't like how he dresses, I understand. I don't like it too. As a pastor, I said, don't worry. I coached her, I said, don't worry. First of all, you will say yes. And it has nothing to do with money. It's mindset. Exposure. Don't worry, we'll package him. You know, I did a course in pharmacy school. It should maybe like 40 in pharmacy school called packaging. I'm serious. There's a course on packaging. They taught us how to package. They say, especially if you're marketing your drugs to kids, it must have the flavor and the package. And there are 2 different things. There's a flavor first. Because kids, they don't care about the active ingredients. They care about how it tastes. Yes. Even the same thing applies to church. I was coaching a pastor this few days. Very anointed man, preaches, fast, everything. He said, but pastor, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, people drive their mother to our church, drop them, and go to another church. I said, because your church is for old people. He said, what do I do? I said, we change. So he showed me the look of the church. I said, I know the problem. So I had to sit him down. Very nice man. And he's educated. Even has some program from Harvard. But exposure. I sat him and I said, first of all, we're going to change your altar. You're going to have LED screen. You're going to... I said, he showed me the picture of the mixer. I said, this is like the mixer Ajayi Crowder used. Analog mixer in America. I said, so he gave the phone to his son. He said, my son handles the media. I said, let me talk to your son. I said, if we were to rate your sound on scale of 0 to 10. You know, young people ask. I said, where will you? He said, 3, sir, 3. He said, 3, sir. So we literally have to trash their own system. Say, it's all about the word. It's not just about the word. The word is basic. Some of you join this church not because of the words. You saw what you like. The word is good, but, you know, everybody wants a place you can identify with. You don't want a church you can't take your friends to. Oh, he's very anointed. But everything, I mean, I saw the stage. He looked like a shrine. He's really a place of worship. It's just like, he doesn't look like God is the one being worshipped there. I mean, red everywhere. Red chair, red carpet. I'm like, okay, which one? I mean, when it's not sure, go shrine. What is going on there? So I believe in packaging, but you can package him. With especially if he's somebody that is teachable. Good. I mean, the person you are looking for, those lists that you wrote, I think we have started a relationship conference already. Those lists, that the thing you wrote, you are the one that will make it. Mindsets. That's why some people stay long on the shelf. It's called high-mindedness. You're so high-minded. This person does not qualify. This does not qualify. You yourself, you are not qualified. Matthew chapter 15, verse 35. Glory to God. Somebody will still like me after this message, right? With all this jab and, you know, stab. Someone says more than stab, this jab. You are stabbing us. So he said, he commanded the multitude to sit down. Okay. Matthew chapter 15.
Don't let us go there. Let me move.
In Matthew chapter 15, he said he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground.
Now, verse 34. Give me verse 34. Matthew chapter 15, verse 34.
Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. Look at the qualification. And a few little fish. And if you read the story down, you realize a few little fish fed 4,000 people. So it didn't happen once. It happened multiple times. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, value little things. You must see value in what? Little things. For the super of God to sit on your natural, you must acknowledge the natural. God has given you the natural. But first of all, you must see it as valuable. Then the super of God can now sit on it and multiply it. You are looking for much, but the much comes in a seed form as little.
Secondly, to enjoy on in that supernatural flow, you must occupy a position of rest.
Rest. Somebody say rest again. Yes, this rest thing is key.
You know, God was showing me something a few weeks ago. He said, listen, just because you are under a covenant of grace, there is a basic flow of grace in your direction. So, literally speaking, just by positioning yourself in the new covenant, saying yes to Jesus, there is a flow of the supernatural grace of God that comes to you naturally. Because you are under a covenant of what? Grace. But do you know, you clog the pipe that brings it most of the time with worry, anxiety, and fear. There are things that could have been avoided if only you stay away from worry. Worry is an enemy. Write it down. Worry is an enemy. The next time you feel it, fight it. Because a lot of your worry comes, you just open the door for it. You say, come in, come in, come in, come in. Where do you want to sit? Living room? Bedroom? You don't need to stay in guest room. Come to the master bedroom and fill my house. Worry is an enemy. You know, the word worry means, to worry means to give way to anxiety or unease. To allow your mind to dwell on difficulty and troubles.
In this world, we have tribulations. There will be difficult seasons. But don't dwell on it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Take no thought for your life. If I can take care of the lilies of the field, if I can take care of the birds of the air, why will I not take care of you? You are made in my image and likeness. I love you. What else do I need to do to show you how much I love you? I remember the other day,
there was a job my son was doing for a while now. And, you know, recently the owner of the company, you know, she was doing it remotely. They said, oh, you know what, we're changing policy. We don't need anybody working remotely again. So she called and his voice was down. I said, what happened? My job says they won't be giving me the hours again. I just stopped him right there. I said, stop. You are in school. Focus on school. How much do you need? It will be in your account. I'm your dad. It was okay that you were working and you have the opportunity to have the experience. But it's not the end of the world. Now, if as a father I'm thinking like that, how do you think God is thinking? I'm like, you're too young to be worrying about. Don't worry. You have a father. You are not an orphan. Focus on school. My wife was still talking about it last week. Should he get another? I said, no, don't get another job. You're almost done with school. Just focus on school. It's my responsibility to pay your bills. God sent me to somebody this morning to let him know, to let her know, it's his responsibility to pay your bills. So all this thinking, you are not responsible. You are being responsible. I had to stop him immediately. Stop that. Don't go there. It's my job. You are my son. I'll pay your tuition, I'll pay your accommodation, I'll pay everything. Just focus on school. And God is saying, you focus on life. Focus on the purpose. Focus on the assignment I've given you. And see if I will not take care of you. Take no thought for your life. Your mind always dwelling on issues and troubles. Stop it!
When you get into worry zone, you clog the pipe that brings grace. When you get into what? Worry zone. You clog that pipe. There's a flow of grace in your direction. Don't clog it. Don't clog it. Stay away from worry. And some of us, we have convinced ourselves that that's the way to be responsible. Especially our mothers. All the mothers say, I'm talking to you now. Any little thing, you will magnify the issue. The boy did something small. Say, hey, what else are you not telling me? The problem is, why are you, because the way you are thinking, you are combining three woods, Nollywood, Bollywood, and Bolly, Nolly, Holly. Everything, you put it together. Drama. You, this boy, stop it. And some of us, we have a way of justifying. Say, you tell your husband, leave me alone. I'm a mother. I see things. You are worrying. That's the simple thing. You are worrying. You are worrying. If you are concerned, go and pray. And the moment you've prayed, forget about it. Consider it done. Unrest clogs the flow of God's grace. The supernatural needs you to rest. Now, if you read Matthew chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus multiplied the breads, you will realize in both instances, he insisted they must sit down. God can't feed you when you are standing. Before the little things can become much, you must sit. Supernatural flows out of rest, not out of unrest. Take no thought for your life. Master it so much that people will begin to label you NFA. You know, that was one of the titles that was given to when I was in pharmacy school. Because, I did pharmacy in Ife, a school, an interesting school. And if you know anything about that school and pharmacy, you will know it was one of the most difficult programs you can ever imagine. But by the time I was in my fourth year, my classmates saw that I was different. When everybody would be stressed, I would just be enjoying life. Even there were classes that it was stressing me so much that I took a break from it. I'm like, no, you are stressed. You're like, really? I'm like, leave me alone. I remember one of the results I was released, I think this should be my third year. There was this Muslim boy in our class. Apparently, the boy had plotted it in his mind. He had seen me repeating and failing. So when the results came out and he saw my, and the, you know, they would put my name and my matriculation number, and he saw it. And it was so bad. In the class of 140, only 30 people would pass. 30 people would pass. And my name was on the list. The boy saw me and started shaking me. I'm like, why are you shaking me? He said, you are there. What are you doing there? Why should I not be there? You think it's by warning? Just because I was not walking around showing unrest like the rest of you. Because I know I have a God that will take care of things. So they gave me a name, a title, NFA, no future ambition. Because as far as concerned, worry is the way to know people that what? A future ambition. He said, this, we are not worried, nothing moves you. Just go about life as if there's no problem. I'm like, I know there's problem, but I will not wear it. I refuse to allow the problem to become my dress. There is. We're not saying be irresponsible. We're not saying don't plan for the future, but don't wear the trouble. Because worry clogs the flow of grace. Did you get that? Then the third one, recognize God as the source. Recognize God as the source. Now listen to me. You will notice that, I believe in Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus multiplied the bread. Now, go to Matthew chapter 14 verse 19. I want to show you something very powerful there. Matthew chapter 14 verse 19. It says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down, right? We talked about sit down. Don't you ever say sit down? No worry, no anxiety. Then he says, he took the five loaves and what? The two fish. What is supposed to be what? Little, right? And looking up to heaven. So the question is, where are you looking at? Looking up to heaven. Because the super that will come on that natural and give you supernatural result is coming from heaven. Somebody is looking up to his employer. Somebody is looking up to his business. Somebody is looking up to his family background. Somebody is looking up to his Ivy League certificate. All those things, as pretty, as amazing as they are, can fail. The only thing that never fails is heaven supplies. Looking up to heaven. Now, can we get up, everybody, and do this together? Say, and do your hand like this. Say, I look up to heaven. Knowing fully well that what is little will be multiplied as the super of heaven come upon it. I trust God, not my intelligence, not my skills, not my background, not my education, not my association, but God above all. You may be seated. Looking up to heaven. That is a practice you must never graduate from. Even when the abundance has come, in the midst of the abundance, keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes, because a lot of us, it's easy to look up to heaven when you have nothing. But the moment you're a little bit convenient and comfortable, you just look at what you have done. You've done, because some people have been lying to you, telling you have done well for yourself. And you believe it. They lied and you believed it. You did well for yourself. God helped you. And you are now going all over the place giving seminar. Well, now you made it. You are made. All of a sudden, you have become the president of Achievers Club. And the only thing you did was received well. So, you know, I'm going to tell you 7 things to do. You know, we're in a world full of coaches. Emotional intelligence coach, mindset coach, fertility coach. There's another one I saw last week, sex coach. When I was growing up, the only set of coaches we had were sports, soccer, basketball. Everybody now is a coach. So somebody said, I'm a mindset coach now. I say, So there's a coach to set our mind now. It's a world full of coaches. So everybody has a winning formula, including people that it was God that carried them. So I'm going to tell you, and people can lie on social media. It's camera, they say. I'm going to tell you. Don't allow content creator to mess up your life, please. In fact, they were not doing it for you. They were doing it to collect your money. Okay, don't let us go into that. Recognize God as your source. The Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is your shepherd. He brought you this far. And is the way forward. Don't get over him. Do you know what makes tithes and first fruits so powerful? It's because of the principle of God first. That's why. It's not the money. You think God will not survive without your money? Say, you know, I'm not giving any tithe again. Okay, keep your tithe. You are that special. You are the pillar that holds the church. You are the pillar that holds the church. Like I was told, a church somewhere in Chicago. Said the RN, because the church full of RN, registered nurses. So they had a meeting. Said, we show the pastor, we withdraw a tithe. Registered nurse court. That's what I would call them. They are cultish people. And who are you, by the way? Who gave you that? And God has a way of humiliating people like that because of your miserable $80,000 or whatever you are handing. Say, the way pastor has been behaving these days, we need to show him. Listen, God can survive without your tithe. Now turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. God can survive without your tithe. In fact, if we do more than survive, we thrive. So you are not that important. Say, let no man think more highly of himself than he what? Than he ought to think. That is pride. They had a meeting, said, we told that tithe. You think tithe was designed to keep God alive? So that the door of the church will be open. The old system is designed to keep you focused on God so that God can keep on supplying. Honor the Lord with what? With your substance and the first fruits, so that your barns. So it's not about so that God can increase, so that you can increase. It's about God first, God as the source.
Am I preaching well this afternoon?
So to enjoy supernatural supply, you must recognize the source. It's not you.
Number four,
maintain the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of what? Gratitude. Oh, I love the sound of it. More than the sound of it, get it. Gratitude is a major attitude. Always grumpy, complaining. That attitude will shut things down. You want things to multiply? Be full of gratitude at all times, including times that you don't have any reason to be grateful. It might look as if you have no reason to be grateful, but if you think hard enough, there are plenty of reasons to be grateful. Because for everything that is not working, there are 1,001 things that are working. But the devil has a way of you focusing, you just zeroing on what is not working, and my life is finished. Which life? And you are talking, and it's finished. Which part?
Nothing is working. And you are walking.
You are walking around, say nothing is working. But you are still walking. You are talking. If nothing is working, you should not be able to talk. You are talking, you are still eating, nothing is working. It's a deception of the enemy. Gratitude has no substitute. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm not if you know the story of Jehoshaphat. I talked about it earlier on today. I'm not if you know Jehoshaphat and his army, right? Surrounded by armies from different nations, right? Initially, he feared. But thank God, he was smart enough to unclog. Because fear would have clogged the release of God. He unclogged quickly and he sought the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, guess the instruction. Line up your best singers. Ha. An army is around the corner. Not just an army, 3 nations. Powerful than us. And you say, it's worship time. Special program. To do what? To sing when we're supposed to be what? Fighting. Do you know the reason why the Lord will ask you to sing when you're supposed to be fighting? So that he can do the fighting. When you stop singing, then you will have to do the fighting. But if you want God to fight, start singing. Look at it. He said, now they began to sing and to praise the Lord. Set! So their singing allowed God to set. When you stop singing, God cannot set. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. In fact, the next verse says they helped destroy one another. So when you stop singing, you have just allowed the enemy to thrive. God fights better when you sing. God fights better when you sing. And let me say one more thing before I move to the next point. Do you know gratitude is a multiplier? When you get into gratitude, hey, bala sotaba, what is little gets multiplied. If you go back to Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, after he took the 5 loaves, he looked up, the Bible says, and blessed it. And that's what he says, and gave thanks. And the next thing, the disciples were giving it to the multitudes, and 5,000 people were fed. And there were, 12 baskets left over. Gratitude is a what? Multiplier. So gratitude engages God to fight. And gratitude multiplies what is little and give you much. Somebody shout hallelujah. Psalm 67 verse 5. Moko sataya kata. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, that was Riaza. Now you're going to rise up and we're going to read verse 5 and verse 6 together. Now you have Riaz. Let's do the real thing. Thank you for your Riaza. We're going to do the 2 verses, verse 5 and verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go.
Let the people praise you, O Lord. Let all the people praise you.
Verse 7.
Then
the heart shall yield and increase. Wait. He said when you praise God, the heart shall yield. So your praise imparts your environment. He said, the heart shall what? Yield and increase. As you what? He said, then God shall what? So the multiplying effect relies on what? Your praise. You may be seated. Glory to God. The heart shall yield what? As you praise God, not as you grumble, not as you complain, not as you worry. Last one. Make Jesus your focus. Make Jesus your focus. Somebody say, oh, I thought you already said, let God be, you know, look up to God as source. Yes. But let me now zero in on Jesus. I love Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 so well. So much. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, the same verses of scripture talking about take no thought for your life. Talking about, you know, your heavenly Father. I believe it's verse 32 that talks about your heavenly Father knows what you need. Now turn to your neighbor, say your father
knows your needs,
and he has plans to get it across to you. So verse 32 where he says, I have all these things the Gentiles seek. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm not a Gentile. I'm a covenant man or woman. I don't seek things. You don't compare yourself to hustlers. By the way, if you are new here, if there's anything we don't call ourselves hustlers. I'm a hustler. God bless my hustle. Some have main hustle, side hustles. Me, I don't have any hustle. Because another word for hustle is toy. And the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and added no toy. Don't you never say, I'm not a hustler. I'm a blessed man. You can't be bipolar. You're a hustler and blessed. No, choose one. If you are blessed, you don't toy. Don't you never say, I do not toy. I am blessed. You know, a hustler needs to sweat to feed. Say, you know, everything I have, I hustle for it. No, most things I have, I was favored for it. You know, I'm that blessed that I can even reap what others planted. I'm that blessed. So I say, I have a problem with that. I can't help you. All these things the angels are seek, but you are not like them. You are not a hustler. He said your heavenly Father has a system to take care of you. So you don't hustle like them. And in verse 33, look at verse 33. He shows us how to get things done. He said rather seek things. He said seek the kingdom and his righteousness. I don't have all the time in the world, but let me summarize it for you. Do you know Jesus is his righteousness? Say, seek Jesus. Just zero in on Jesus. That's all you need. All these things shall be added. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because there's no way you will look unto Jesus that faith will not be activated in you. Because faith rises as you see Jesus. Faith rises as you see Jesus. And the moment faith rises, grace flows. Faith rises. The reason why you disturb this is because you are looking away from Jesus. Refocus on Jesus. Make Jesus your focus. Seek God and his righteousness. And all these things. God does not want you to live a broke life. But he says, don't focus on things. Focus on me. As you see me, see my love, see my grace, all these things will be added. So we don't go after things, we go after Jesus. Amen. How many of you know the story of Peter sinking? How many of you know the story of Peter sinking? How many of you know that story? Matthew chapter 14 verse 30. Matthew 14 verse 30. Woo, I'm blessed. I'm supercharged up. The supernatural is my reality. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wait. So fear has its roots in what you are seeing. Your focus is what determines whether it's fear or faith. The same Peter that once walked on the water, all of a sudden, he began to sink because he looked away from Jesus. You know, he started his journey by saying, if it's you, Master, beckon me to come. And he focused on Jesus and he began to walk on water. But all of a sudden, some boisterous wind rose up and he looked away from Jesus and he began to sink. But if you are like Peter, who is already sinking, you can cry out and say, Lord, save me. Zero back on the Lord
and you will float again. Get on your feet. Get on your feet. The supernatural can be natural. You just need to understand there are little things that God has put around you that you must see. Somebody said, Lord, help me to see the little things you have put in me connected to my supernatural. The little things must be seen. Then you must praise God even while they are still little.
Amen.
Somebody say, I will praise God when they have become much. Mm-mm. You must praise God. Jesus gave thanks when it was still 5 loaves and what? 2 fishes. Wow. And keep your focus on Jesus. Make sure God remains your source. Then you will just see supernatural relationships, supernatural health, supernatural wealth, supernatural family, supernatural career, from one supernatural to another supernatural. And people will say, we don't even understand. You say, you got it. That's the plan. You are not supposed to understand it because I'm a sign and a wonder. I'm a miracle that is always happening. I'm a mystery. I deserve to be studied. Now, don't you know, say, neighbor?
Neighbor.
I don't only speak mysteries. When I pray in tongues,
I'm a mystery
that deserves to be studied. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a species that has never existed before, a supernatural species. Watch out for me. I'm a record breaker and I'm a record maker. I break records and I set new ones. I'm that blessed. Lift up your hands and just give God praise. Oh, what a season we have. We are in a supernatural season of flow everywhere. Glory to God.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.